You know, it's about a quarter to 12 where I sit, probably about the same where you sit. And if you're like me, you start getting hungry about this time of the day. And so food's often on my mind, and I love talking with chefs and those who know a lot about food and who are very good at preparing it. And that's what we have with us now. Chef Michael Fecker is owner and executive chef of El Mito in Wauwatosa, as well as CMF's School of Culinary Magic. He studied at California Culinary Academy and has called Wisconsin home since 1997, I believe. Has a brand new cooking show on Fox 6 in Milwaukee. It airs Fridays at 11:30 a.m. and then repeats over the weekend. So great to have him with us today to talk about refreshing and healthy summer meals. Maybe you have a go-to meal in hot weather that you enjoy. What is it? What summer produce could you eat at every meal and never get tired of? Or on the other hand, what do you have way too much of and would like Chef Fecker's advice on using it in different ways? Yeah, that sometimes happens to us. Maybe it happens to you, too. Give us a call with your questions and comments or maybe your own experiences to share at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Post a question, comment, or even maybe got a nice photo of something that you prepared. We'd love to see that, too. Or maybe you've got a nice summer picnic photo. Send that along as well. And Chef Fecker, welcome. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us again. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me. Where would I want to be except right here on Milwaukee Public Radio? So I love being here.
Oh, well, I tell you what. When it's this hot out, people don't want to heat up the house too much. And so we're putting our new grill to heavy use right now. Right. But what are some good cooking techniques to take advantage of?
You know, Larry, you hit the nail right on the head. Grilling is, of course, a technique that we always go to, and we want to be outside and enjoy the few months of great weather that we have here in Wisconsin. But another technique that can be done inside the house, at the same time, we got to remember, we cannot turn on the grill worrying about cleaning it afterwards. So something quick, sauteing is a very, very great way of achieving the robust flavors that you're looking in food and keeping the integrity of the ingredients intact. And what I mean by sauteing in French means jumping. And what do we mean by that when we're cooking? We want a hot pan and we want flash cooking of the ingredient. And what comes into work here is the techniques of how do you prepare your ingredients. What I mean by that, a chicken needs to be pounded to a thickness that it sautés and cooks instantly. So you don't have this heat going on for too long in the kitchen, and then the open flame makes your kitchen and your home even warmer than what you want it to be.
Makes good sense. And sometimes vegetables, you can do vegetables pretty quickly that way.
Absolutely. That would be the first thing that I would do. This is what I would do. I would saute my chicken in there, pull it out, halfway done, put my vegetables in that same saute pan, saute it with a drizzle of olive oil again, and then bring the chicken back to the party and let everything cook together while I drizzle a little bit of white wine to take all those yum-yums that are sticking in the bottom of the pan and making a quick pan sauce, cook the chicken all the way through, and get our vegetables warm and crunchy.
Oh, stop. You're making me really hungry. It sounds wonderful.
You asked for it, my friend. You asked for it. Now it's suffering time, everybody.
Oh, man. Well, what is some of your favorite produce in season right now? And talk about preparing.
I hope you have 2 hours to talk about this one because there's so many out there. It's ridiculous. It's wonderful. Such a great season right now. You know, I'm going to break this into fruits and vegetables, even though some of the fruits are vegetables, even though some of the vegetables are fruits. But basically, I'll start with fruits. I love watermelon. Watermelon, yeah. And melons are one of my favorites right now. I love berries, and I love cherries. I love peaches. And as far as vegetables go, you know, I love green garlic that just finished, you know, the season just finished but still available. Carrots, corn, onion, scallions that are all available, and they're nature's sweetness and sugar. Like my tomato sauce here at Il Mito, I don't use any sugar. We use carrots and onion, and we slow cook it for a long time with the tomatoes, so it gives that sweetness and takes away that acidity from the tomatoes. I love peppers, Larry. Peppers are very, very affordable, and they have this robust flavor that can either overcome something, but at the same time, it can very gently, delicately, you know, complement an ingredient or a dish. Tomatoes are in season. Right now, tomatoes are on top of my list because we get tomatoes that look wonderful and have that red color to them but have no flavor some other times. Now is the perfect time. Eggplant. I mentioned a lot of these Mediterranean ingredients that I love to cook with. Summer squash. And rhubarb is another one that I love because I don't get to cook or use rhubarb or play with it that often. So rhubarb is a great one at this time.
Oh, absolutely. Elizabeth shared on Facebook what her go-to summer meal is. She says she likes spring rolls, fill them with shrimp and rice noodles and cucumber and cilantro and other veggies your family loves. You add that to a fresh peanut sauce.
I hope Elizabeth can hear me right now. Elizabeth, you are in my head. It is incredible what you said, because one of my salads that I love, you know, when you talked about taking, you started this whole thing so wonderfully because it makes so much sense. The techniques are very much involved and necessary to know what you're going to eat according to the season. So right now what she's talking about is cooking everything in advance, making sure that it's chilled, and then combining it in a pouch that we call a spring roll, and bringing all those flavors with one bite to your palate and having this explosion happen when you take that bite. And then she's giving you that peanut sauce with a little bit of natural fat within the peanuts and the sweetness that is, she's probably using either maple syrup, honey, or sugar with some acidity from vinegar. I mean, she's talking about this whole package of flavor that are so wonderful and make so much sense together. I have a great salad that I love, and I use rice noodles, and I do it with shrimp and summer vegetables and cilantro and some toasted pine peanuts as well. And I have that basically what she, Elizabeth is talking about. I'm doing the same thing open face. So, Elizabeth, you and I got to open a restaurant. I hope you're listening.
Oh, man, this is fun, Michael. You know, Cynthia, Jeff in Madison says he often makes zucchini, carrot, whatever, summer salads with cold rice or bulgur. You make the rice bulgur using orange juice, lemonade. Okay, now I went and lost it.
Lemonade probably for some sweetness here.
Yeah, or mint or ginger tea instead of water.
Oh, my God. Who are these people that are listening? They're amazing. I love this stuff. I have another recipe that I use all the time, and I cook at home at the same time. It's exactly that. He's using the same techniques. He's steaming his rice with some robust flavors. So instead of water, because you got to remember, everybody, water is essential to our livelihood, but at the same time is a thief when it comes to flavors. So it robs flavors from many ingredients. So he's using either nice naturally made lemonade or jasmine or ginger tea and green tea, and he's putting everything together, and he's giving all those flavors to every grain of rice. Why? During the heating process and the boiling process, the pores of the rice opens up, sucks in all these gorgeous flavors, and by the time it's steamed and it's cooked and you fluff it up and it's cold, you take a bite and you have all these flavors that you don't know where they came from. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's tricking you guys, basically. So that's a great recipe.
Great recipe. And we have some callers online, too. By the way, you can join in with your question at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. I have an open line. We can get you on pretty quickly. But let's go to Daryl in Exonia next. Hi, Daryl. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My question is, because I have a daughter who's gluten-free, and she really likes fried rice, and I try to make it like all those rice packets at the store that are like flavored rice. Either they got pasta in them, or like you look at the ingredients, even if it's just rice, like Uncle Ben's or something, it's still got wheat in it. I don't know why they got to put wheat in with rice. So I tried making it at home, like fried rice with chicken broth to get, you know, like chicken-flavored rice, and it gets all mushy. Like, is there a secret? Like, how do you make rice like that, flavored rice with no gluten?
Absolutely. First of all, Daryl, lovely to have you, and I am so passionate about gluten-free menu and recipes and ingredients. I have this at Il Mito, but I'm going to share something with you. The reason they use wheat byproducts in packaged food is because it's a thickening agent. And once you're doing your fried rice off of a package, by adding your liquid, they say add this much liquid and bring to this temperature, and it's done. You need that natural thickening thing to happen, and we do it in the kitchen. In that case, it happens in the package because there's wheat byproduct. Now, to answer your question, when you want to do a great fried rice without any wheat or any wheat byproduct in it, you blanch your rice and you cook it all the way through. You remove the rice, you let it cool down, and you rinse it with cold water. Why are you doing that? You're removing the extra starch that is sitting on the surface of the rice, and now you have a nice rice that is not going to be sticky anymore. Once you got that, then you make the decision of you want to put some bell peppers in there for her, you want to put some different ingredients in there for her. This is the trick. You first use the pan hot and you add your vegetables and your other ingredients. Once they warm up to temperature, you add your rice to toss it with your soy sauce or everything else that you want for her, and one egg. If she's egg intolerant, that's a different story. An egg is a binder here that brings the whole thing together. Have you been to those Japanese restaurants that they cook in front of you, and he always breaks an egg in the fried rice?
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason why. It's a binder. You have the protein from the egg yolk and the fat, and then you have the protein and the water content in the white of the egg. So you're bringing the whole thing together. That is my suggestion.
Like that yellow, make it yellow like chicken flavor.
I'm sorry?
Like that to get it like yellow. I just want like chicken flavored rice, like to make it, and it's yellow
Got it. As far as if it's yellowish color that you're looking for, what you see in those packages are due to the fact that they put the chicken bouillon in there, which is the chicken skin and the chicken fat and sodium combined together. If that's the color that you want, I would use some grated carrots in my broth first, blend it, and then strain the carrots out and use that carrot broth for her.
Or turmeric? Could you use a little turmeric, would that not work for her diet?
Oh, turmeric is not only a medicine for us, it's an anti-inflammatory and is wonderful for her. It is gluten-free completely, but I am worried about her robust flavor of turmeric not being palatable to her palate. That's the only concern that I would have.
That could well be.
Otherwise, turmeric is wonderful. Daryl, did I answer your question, or would you like me to go on?
That sounds good. I just wonder how, because when I try to fry, I've tried it that way, and it gets all mushy, but I never rinsed my rice with water, so maybe that's where I went wrong.
That could well be where you went wrong. Thank you so much. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and we'll be back with our guest. Good food is one of life's great joys, and sharing those meals with loved ones even better. Wisconsin has some great restaurants and chefs who not only treat us well when we go out to eat, but some who are even eager to share their knowledge and their expertise and their passion with the rest of us. One of those, Chef Michael Fecker from El Mito in Wauwatosa, definitely fits that category. He not only creates delicious and healthy dishes for his customers, but he teaches us how to be successful in the kitchen through both his cooking school and his new television show on Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Chef Michael Fecker, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Larry, I am ecstatic. I am so happy to be here, and thank you for having me, and thank you for all of your listeners to listening to my passion. I hope they can taste it.
I pretty much think they can. You know, we were talking about gluten-free, and Judith was telling me that you have in the past, and I'm not sure if you still do this, have a gluten-free Sunday once a month.
I do. I have created a gluten-free menu for the entire every day of the week now. So when you come in here, you're not fighting the fact that what am I going to eat, what can I eat. There's a dedicated menu to you. And 90% of the menu that everybody else is enjoying, I'm preparing it gluten-free as well. My pasta dough is made by myself. There are no additives because a classic pasta dough is corn and eggs, and the eggs, due to the fact that corn doesn't have any binder in it, such as gluten, which is the protein of the grain, we use eggs in it, so it's fresh pasta made for you. Your pizza dough is made fresh, gluten-free. Everything is done right here at the restaurant.
And I have to admit, I haven't been to your restaurant, but Judith has been to your restaurant and loved it.
Thank you. Yes, I can't wait for you to taste the passion that we put on a canvas that you know as plate. I paint those canvases on a daily basis.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Want to let our listeners in. If you have a question or comment, join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question, a comment, or even drop in a recipe there. We'd love to have that as well. And as a matter of fact, Cynthia went to our Facebook page and shared a recipe for avocado cucumber soup with shrimp. She says, "We love this cool and satisfying soup and enjoy grilling the shrimp outside until opaque for an added smoky flavor."
Oh, my God. These listeners that are listening and sending these recipes, we have so many things in common, everybody, because I have a dish, I have a cold soup that I do with cucumber, dill, and shrimp. She does it with avocado because she's using the fat from the avocado to create that binding agent and create it nice, make it nice and creamy. It is amazing. I love cold soups. You know, doing cold soups in the summer is not only gratifying, it's also cooling. And the key to that is I take my love for my wife that has Mexican culture and her influences, and they have something that they call agua fresca, which means fresh water. And basically what they do, they take water and an abundant ingredient for that season, which is the summer right now, and they blend the juice of that ingredient with water, lots of ice, lime slices, and fresh mint. And you just have it in the house instead of water. I take that concept. I have a beautiful watermelon and basil cold soup that I do. And I do an avocado soup as well that she just mentioned. And remember, everybody, whenever you're doing a cold soup, saturated fat such as butter, cream, have no room or place in your cold soup. Because due to the soup being cold, those binding agents and the fats bind and become very, very sticky. Where? On your palate. You take a bite or a sip of that soup and it coats your entire palate. So olive oil is something that you want to cook with when you're going to turn it into a cold soup.
That makes very, very good sense to me. And with some callers online, again, you can join us. We'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Will in Washburn, let's turn to you now. Hi, Will. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm a baker. I'm baking granola. In fact, I've just got a case in the back of the car I'm going to be dropping off in Wausau shortly. And one of the summer problems we've got is humidity. We're trying to dry a product, and summertime is a challenge for us. But I just wanted to, mention that aside. And there's a lot of snack foods that are really popular in the summer. We're lucky we're making a product that is, happily a snack food, kind of hand to mouth. But mm-hmm. also it works really well as a breakfast food, which means it's a year-round kind of thing. In fact, a lot of people associate it with winter, but we're finding it's busy in the summer.
Right.
Yeah. What prompted my call was you're talking about gluten. Of course, a lot of people want a gluten-free granola, and oats are a question mark for a lot of people. And I was wondering if you have any insight about the gluten content in oats and people's sensitivity to it.
Correct. Good to hear from you, my friend. As a matter of fact, first I want to go back to what you mentioned about moisture. Your drying process, you basically use room temperature to allow your granola bars to dry?
Oh, no. We have a thick and chunky style. We bake it. It's the hard part is working in a kitchen that doesn't have not in an air-conditioned building, and we find that when it's humid outside, there's no way to drive the moisture content down because there's so much ambient moisture in the air.
You're correct. Now, as far as the oats that you mentioned, that's a huge discussion out there, and there are many people, because of the lack of information and because there hasn't been a specific detailed presentation of facts about oats, they don't want to touch it. And I suggest using grains in your granola that don't have oats, and it would be a gluten-free granola bar for right now, because I do not have that detailed information as far as what is the percentage of gluten in oats. And the FDA wants it less than 0.10%, I guess. Isn't that correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, to be able to call it gluten-free. But I would use different grains. What other grains would you use instead of oats?
Oh, well, we use a lot of grains in ours, but oats is kind of a central character in our recipes, so we'd have to switch to other things. And apparently there's some little bits of gluten in things like barley.
Yes, and, correct.
Which we also use.
Correct.
And so we'd have to completely make up new recipes to use all gluten-free content.
And that's the beauty of growth. You know, when we make new recipes, we grow and we play with new ingredients. So sometimes maybe you and I should sit together and talk about your granola bar.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Will. Thank you for calling. Oh, boy. Your number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments, or if you've got some ideas for great summertime eating, we'd certainly love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. We, of course, love to hear from you. Are the chilled soups more often savory or sweet?
I think it depends. They should be savory, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a soup that you're starting at the beginning, if you have a sweet soup, then that's what's going to be the predominant flavor profile on your palate. And then it's going to be a little bit more difficult to step into the next course. So I do it savory, usually. That's what I do. And again, even a watermelon basil soup, there's got to be a well balance between the savory and the sweetness of the watermelon. So I prefer it to be savory, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of people, I don't think chilled soups just aren't as familiar a dish.
Yes, I know. You know why? Because when we have that warm and hot bowl of soup in a cold day, it's heartwarming. It just goes to your culinary soul and touches it. We don't have that experience with cold soup, but we forget that we are drinking cold soup for a different purpose, for a chilling and for a cooling down purpose. At the same time, we are using an ingredient that is good for us and is within season. So that's one of the reasons that chilled soup, you're correct, is not as high on the list as regular warm soup is.
You know, there are a couple things I wanted to ask you about. And first, the restaurant, El Mito. Tell us a little more about the restaurant. I should have asked you this right off the bat.
Absolutely, Larry. You know, the El Mito was born due to the fact that being raised in Switzerland and traveling through Europe, I always loved the idea of various eateries that existed in every country, and especially Italy. And the eatery is where you come in, where nothing is but great. You know, great service, great food, great value, and you feel like you just walked into your home away from home. And that's what I wanted to create here. And living and being a Wauwatosian, living in Wauwatosa myself, I knew how Wauwatosa was hungry for a location and a space as such. We are not a pretentious group here. We love what we do. And I am blessed with an amazing team that allows me to do what I do and to share my passion for food. I think my love for life is manifested through food, and that's what I share with every one of you out there. That's why my show has taken me to a different level, not just because I have a TV show, is because I have a different platform now to share my love for food with you guys and to share all those do's and don'ts in cooking. You know, Larry, there's so much unknown remaining in cooking, because to see a recipe presented to you on a cooking show is completely different. My cooking show is about making you a recipe maker, not a recipe follower. And if I share the fundamentals of food and the chemistry of food with you, you don't need a recipe. You are the recipe. So you make it as you wish. And simplicity is the key to everything I do here at El Mito. I allow the ingredients to speak for themselves. I don't camouflage them. And that's the art of a chef. A chef, again, in French means a chief. And we are what? We are the chief of your palates when you walk in this door. And if I do not tease your palate, if I do not get your palate addicted, I never have a second chance to do that again. So I want to make sure once you come to Il Mito, you are feckerized immediately. So that is my goal. And thank God something that I'm doing is working well because I have nothing but love and support from every one of you out there.
Frank in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to comment on the enthusiasm of your guests. It's just infectious. I haven't heard anybody like this in a long time. I love to cook. I'm not going to share any recipes or anything. I do have a daughter who lives in Wauwatosa, though, and I'd like to hear the name of the restaurant again because I certainly want to take her there the next time we visit.
First of all, Larry, let me tell you, what a beautiful, beautiful comment. And
it was wonderful.
You cannot believe how much you've touched me right now. And the name of the restaurant is Il Mito, I-L-M as in Mary, I-T-O. Il Mito, which means the myth. And the myth is, there's a myth out there that great food, great service, great atmosphere costs an arm and a leg. And I've always been there to debunk this myth.
Oh, I bet Frank's going to be there. Frank, you going to be there?
Outstanding. You bet I will.
Frank, thank you for everything, gentlemen. And thank you for your love.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. You can join into it, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments or maybe your ideas as well. So I also wanted to mention your cooking show. You mentioned it in passing, but it's Michael Fecker's Kitchen on Fox 6 in Milwaukee. Tell us about that show.
Absolutely. You know, when I started cooking with Fox and cooking in different programs of Fox, I believe Fox saw my passion for food and they decided to adopt me. And we started doing this show on Fox called Fecker's Kitchen, which is on Fridays at 11:30 in the morning a.m. And many of you guys out there that are listening are probably at work. That's why we made sure that there are repeats of the same program for that week. We have it Saturday very early in the morning at 6:30 a.m., which is, again, some of you are sleeping because Friday was a crazy day at work. So, again, we repeat it at 7 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, and that's done on Channel 968, which is Time Warner Cable. But for your Madison listeners, I wanted to also be in the Madison market so they can watch it on Charter Cable at 967.
967.
Correct. Now, after mentioning that, this show is all about few things that are near and dear to my heart. First is let the food be the backbone of everything that you do. So I create great recipes for you, but with the foundation of I go shopping first. I go to the store first. I shop with you and you shop with me in the program. We bring the ingredients together into the studio and into the kitchen, and then we cook, and then you see the final product. And another thing that I did in this show, Larry, was I have a seating area for guests on my counter. So it's not I have interaction with people. Questions are raised during break or during the cooking process, and everything becomes one big happy family, which I really use as an energy booster. You know, we all have batteries in life. My spiritual battery is recharged and charged and recharged by the energy that I receive by my customers and my supporters. And it's been just a phenomenal journey here in Wisconsin. I've been in heaven.
And Brian in Watersmeet, Michigan has a question for you. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, Larry?
Good.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Chef. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good. I am a culinary instructor. And I would like you to speak to some of the future culinarians out there about what to expect in the industry when they finally get out of culinary school and get into the crew world, if you would. And I'll hang up and listen to your reply. Thank you.
I love you. What a great question. That's great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having faith in me and allowing me to do that. So for those of you that are right now in culinary school or want to look at culinary arts as a way of life and expressing your passion and emotions through a plate and getting that instant gratification, I want you all to remember, it will happen, but it will happen in time. There is such a thing called paying our dues in life, and that is in everything that we do. As long as your attitude is, I am going to be the best, at what I am going to be doing. And most importantly, your attitude should be, I don't know anything, I want to be a sponge, and I want to absorb as much as possible. And don't walk into a kitchen and expect to be the top of that kitchen. Walk into the kitchen expecting that you are the bottom of that kitchen, but you're going to work out. You're going to work all the way through and capture that kitchen and the attention of your chef. That's what I did, and it always works out. Because when you expect the least, once you do more, it's a gratifying experience and the energy that you receive. So the culinary arts is a difficult field, and you know that, and many of us know that. And you should look at it as that. But be ready to give your soul, and that is your culinary soul that I'm referring to, and work with peace and with passion. Because if those two P's don't exist in your life, then it's not going to be worth it. And culinary arts is not the right business or the right approach for you. But if you have those two P's, which is passion, and you're persistent about it, and you practice your art, you're going to be just fine. Just remember, you got to pay your dues, guys.
We have a great question from Lois, who wonders in an email. She says, Chef Fecker, you served a wonderful eggplant appetizer recipe at your first location. The eggplant was sliced thin and served with a flavorful tomato sauce and, I believe, a smoked cheese. Could you share that recipe with us?
Absolutely. First of all, that recipe, for all of you that want to know many of my recipes, they're at ilmito.com. So if you go to www.ilmito.com, which is the name of the restaurant, you click on recipes. Many of my recipes are out there for you, and I would love to hear from all of you either through the website or my Twitter account, which is at Chef Fecker, or my Facebook account. So I basically look at me as a recipe thief. I love to steal your recipes. But with that said, yes, that is an eggplant that we call it in Italian, involtini, which means rolled. I slice the eggplant very thin. I grill it. And remember, eggplant needs gorging. Gorging means you usually put salt on it to pull out the bitterness. But when it's sliced very thin and it's seared hot on a grill, usually the bitterness doesn't exist anymore. After it's grilled, I place a layer of nice, very thin slice of smoked mozzarella, one leaf of basil, okay, and I roll the whole thing and place four of them next to each other in a small little ramekin and lace it with a little bit of sun-dried tomato sauce and goes in the oven and warms up within 5 minutes. Oh, my God, Larry. Oh. It is amazing how something so simple can be so addictive. It is just wonderful. With a nice crunchy bread, and you dip that in that sauce, and I promise you, you're going to be Feckerized. I promise you.
Well, Judith's going to add that link to our Facebook page, so people can just go to the page and then link right to you from it. We also we have the Fecker's Kitchen link as well already on the page. So, yeah.
That's great. Thank you. That's great.
And your School of Culinary Magic, we've been talking about education in the last couple minutes here. Maybe you could mention a little bit more about your School of Culinary Magic.
Absolutely. You know, my School of Culinary Magic is basically cooking classes taken to a different level. There are many people that do not have time, or their life is so scattered with so many different great projects that are involved in, they cannot dedicate, let's say, a culinary school, but they want to learn how to be recipe creators and learn the ins and outs of cooking and cooking techniques. So this is what my culinary school is all about. So again, if you go whether to our website and you enroll, but enrolling is not, you got to be there for 4 days, 5 days, an entire week. No, one at a time. You decide what day you want to come in. You tell me the recipes you want to learn about. You tell me what are the things that you love to eat and you hate to cook, so I can work on those with you. And I will not give you a class without having experience together by talking, sitting down, and figuring out what is it that you love and what is it that you suffer from in the kitchen. And those are the things that we work on. here in the school. Also, I have an event thing on my school. Also, I have a large counter that up to 14 people can sit on it at the counter, and I cook for them. And instead of sitting in the dining room and looking at the finished canvas, you see how the canvas is painted right there in front of you.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Michael, Chef Michael Fecker, thank you so much. I hope you will you come back and be with us again?
Larry, it would be an honor and a pleasure. It would be anytime you want me, you know where I am.
Hey, sir, sure do. Oh, great to have with us today. Michael Fecker, owner and executive chef of Il Mito in Wauwatosa. Again, it's Ilmito, Wauwatosa, as well as CMF School of Culinary Magic, and studied at California Culinary Academy. Been in Wisconsin since 1997, and that show on Fox 6 in Milwaukee airs on Fridays at 11:30 and repeats a couple times on the weekend. Great to have him with us. We'll have him back again. And it's great to have you listening in. Thank you so much for listening. And stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network.